Okay, so we're going to do the fifth story. I figured we should do at least one of the animal, you know, the animal exciting ones. So again, I was debating which one to do, and then it came down to some of these files being corrupt and some not. So, you know, that decided it. So the fifth story in the Gemara. So if you look on Ayin Gimel Amud Bet, you'll see that these are part of a theme. So first you get the story of Amaraba Lididi Chazali Urzila Baryoma. Right. First he tells the story that he saw the Re'im. Right? This legendary what? Thing. Right? Animal. Right? This like goat type animal. One day old, Dahave Kahar Tavor. He was as big as Mount Tavor. The Har Tavor Kamahave, how big is that? Arba Parse. Umashacha de Savare Tlata Parse. His neck was three Parsa. Ube Meraba de Reshe Parsa. And, when he would put his head on the ground, right, the space it would take up is a parasa and a half. Rama kufte. He defecated, right? You look at Rashbam. Hetzel rei. He defecated. The sachar leila yardina. And it sealed up the yardin. End of story four. Well, it says Hetel Rei. Anyways, that's story four, right? It's very clearly, very, very, very clear to me, yes. Story five. The Amar Abba Barbrachana, Lididi Chazalei Ai Akrukta. The frog story. I saw a frog. Dehavya ki akra dehagronaya. It was as big as the city of Hagornaya. How big is that? Shitin Bate, 60 houses large. Right? Okay, not huge city, but still pretty big for a frog. Ata Tinyana Bala. A snake came, which was bigger than it, and swallowed it. Ata Push Kansa Uvala Litinyana. And then a raven, a female raven, came and swallowed the snake. What? Yeah, exactly. Visalik yativ bi'ilana, and then it sat on a tree. Ta'chaze kamiz nafish chele di'ilana. So let's see how strong that tree was. On that one branch. And Amara Papa Bar Shmuel Ilohave Hatam Lohimne. If I hadn't been there, I wouldn't have believed it. End of story. What? I think it's totally clear. I think everything there made a lot of sense. Right? That is the story, as Gemara tells you. It's a very clear story. A massive frog eaten by an even more massive snake, eaten by a more massive raven, female raven, which sits on a tree. And I wouldn't have believed it if I weren't there. Neither would I. Neither would I. Okay, fine? That's the story. What? Okay, so if you look on this page, he very nicely organizes it for you, the four main themes of how to interpret this story, right? Malchiot, Ra'ash Achrei Tatova, Olam HaTfila V'Hanigun, and Kinyanei HaOlam V'Chemdotav. Those are the four directions that are taken by the Mefarshim in this story to understand this one. Okay, so which one do you want to start with? 5.1, 5.2, 5.3, 5.4. What? It really doesn't matter. These are four different interpretations. They stand on their own. Okay, 5.4. You have no idea why, but fine. The Akedat Yitzchak. We'll meet someone new. That's good. I love the Akedat Yitzchak. Who's the Akedat Yitzchak? Rav Yitzchak Arama. Rav Yitzchak Arama. What? No, that's his name. Rav Yitzchak Arama. That's his name. It doesn't mean anything. It's his name. Yitzchak Arama. Are you looking him up now, Rami? Ezra, you're my biography person. Look up Rav Yitzchak Arama. He writes these very long essays on Chumash. There you go. Which means he's living right before up to the expulsion. Yeah, 2 years after the expulsion. Yes, we got it. Yes. Yes. So, Akedat Yitzchak says as follows. This is the last page. Amar Rava Bar Bachana Lididi Chazali Harakadil Avali Akra Dagonev Akra Dagonev etc. Right, the whole story. So look down five lines where after he quotes the story. Behu, what does this mean? Kizeh Hachacham Bitov Da'ato V'Sichlo. This wise person in his wisdom. Amar Shinir Elav Tochen Olam Hazeh Umeinei Tovotav V'oven Shimush B'nei Adam Bohem. He saw this world, its goodness, how it serves people, V'sofam, and the end of it. V'hodiyah L'maskilim B'meh Shachadol Lohem Mida Chida Something. V'amar L'didi Chazali. And he wanted to tell them how they've basically been bribed by this world. Himshil lekol inyanei alam chamudav shel alat tzardeya. The frog is all worldly desires. Why? Why is the frog worldly desires? Lefisha milvaju alarov mazon muchan umur gal elatanin. Sorry. Lefisha milvaju hu alarov Mazon Muchan Rogal Ela Tanin, Ashirbo Yushlama Mashal, Hinehu, Middamel, Midachedelahem, Mikamat Tadin. Because there are frogs all around to be eaten by the snake, right? They're everywhere. That's point one. And ha'echad b'karkura hayadua v'myuchad ela sh'alav karushma akarkuta ki pia tamid malei shira u'vishina arev uvokerina k'moshe dover elohim mashmim tamid kol rina v'yushua v'alei ha'balim im shezev u'zer shir shel fanatim? Pagaim? I'm not even sure. Panatim? Right, and it sings all day. The frog sings all day. Because it always has good things happening. Hasheni kishedach urahu minumar akudim nikudim, and its skin is spotted. Kamenei trudokis apirim, kvodra tova olam mitreel v'alav, his eyes are like jewels, v'akodim gudoda kesef, v'sever v'nim zori. Apparently, this type of frog is beautiful looking, and sings beautifully. I don't know what frog he's talking about, but okay. Hashlishi shu kalara dilug, and it hops, yes, it hops. It jumps, v'akiputz mizan alzan, it jumps from one place to other, kmoshim idarecha kenanim ha'elu l'daleg, just like wealth jumps from one house to the next, and reshut l'reshut, kimo sha'amru, chazal gagal hu shechozer ba'olam. Just like Chazal say that wealth is one of those things, it's a cycle, that cycles through the world. So the frog, because of how it sings and it looks and it jumps, represents all types of pleasures, music and wealth and beauty. Aval Amar Shera'au Tagdola K'ir Bat Shishim Batim. So why is this frog, which represents all the goodness of the world, represented by a house, a city of 60 houses, Lomar Shizot Abriya V'im K'tanahi T'cho Kol Nyanik Elomazeh Kol Ayem U'Pratehem K'moshem Ezover HaShishim U'Kolel Kol Kaya Misparim Ki Alken Yishamshu Bo Kol Baal L'Bad Al Cheshmonot. Because he said it has everything, because 60 is the fullest number, as all mathematicians know. I have no idea what mathematical system he's working in. I don't know if it's like minutes in an hour or something. I don't really know. Yeah, I don't really know, but I assume it's some mathematical system he's aware of. I honestly have no idea what he's getting at. And he says the frog is therefore this perfect encapsulation of all physical pleasure. And it is Shabbatan in a charuv balauta bekamuta veichuta gam yuchalav ubemet mashal nachon vekarov elotim makoz vechemda enoshid abelti mishu eret el elo kenim olim asher chivalam shem parapiab livli chok kmo shamarnu v'achar she'afal kitanin rov rubei revavot mehem nechzeval gam kaltaka kiflei kiflaim rishona kmo shamar she'ol ve'adon azmena ve'nei adam v'chulei. And it is devoured by the snake. Why? Because people devour all the pleasures in the world and they still want more. Right? They just open their mouth wide, take whatever it is, and they still want more, no matter how much they're eating. Okay? And now he says, why the snake? Where does he get the snake from? Why snake humanity? Obviously. Nachash HaKadmoni. Right, Asher, ECU to be that call at call chai liftoch piavlivlo tapuach, because it was the snake is the Yetzer Hara, which first got us to eat the fruit, which was all the pleasure we had in the all forbidden pleasures in this world. I don't know. He was probably influenced by Christianity, meaning exposed to it where it was an apple, which it's not in rabbinic tradition, but fine. Okay. Oh, Bagao is a pre, or he says, or some other fruit. Okay? Shahaya Asher Be'emet Loida, right? Meaning, yeah, he's definitely interested by Christianity. An apple or whatever fruit it was, right? Okay. Asher Be'emet Loida, Tzvereya Zod Bidmuta Bitsalma, Mikomok Varnizkar Zatanim Mashel Alukar Zadacharu. V'amar, Ki Adenu And while you're still enjoying the pleasures, what happens? He's eaten by the raven. Said it's like very Edgar Allan Poe. The raven is evil. The raven is the angel of death. The raven is the Satan, you know, because it's black and dark and ominous, and the raven, okay? And anyone who knows Poe, then we automatically understand what he's saying. He didn't read Poe, obviously, that would be weird, right? A few hundred years before that, but that's fine. But apparently this was not new to Poe, right? The raven is evil. And its cry, he says, its cry is terrible. He said, from its color and its cry, you know it is the devil. Right? Right, that's basically Poe. Right? Yes. Right, it's the darkness in all of us that wants to return us to nothingness. That it will destroy, death will destroy all good of this world. So death will take revenge for all the pleasure of the world against the snake. Okay, Okay, that's how he understands it. Now, he doesn't explain why Rabbah didn't believe it. I don't know why. Maybe he just thought that no one can really process how worthless things are in this world. But that's how he reads the story. Okay? It's about the vanity of and the of the endless pursuit of desire in this world. Yes, Rami?
I'm just curious. Sort of, anything along the market with the is
of course that's what he said. It's a coded message. That's what it is. That's what he said it was.
Something that, like,
actually
happened. Like, he saw, like, one person
did not think this is a story that happened. He thinks it's a coded message about... No. No, the Akedah Yitzchak says nothing like that. He doesn't even bring that up as... that. You can say it, but he didn't say it. He didn't say it at all. Okay, fine. What? 5.2? Fine. Ra'ah shachrita tova. Okay. So the gra. Okay, good. The gra. Hayi akruta amru chazal b'midrash shmot rabba. Lama laku amitzvah mitzvardeim b'shvil shabbat lo et yisrael milasuk b'torah. So he says, okay, this is very gruff. He goes code. He says, frog. What do I know about frogs? Well, the midrash says that because of, why did the midrash get hit with frogs? Because they stopped the Jews from learning Torah. Kaden tzvardeim lo shachim amvalela. Like, frogs don't shut up and day and night. It's like Tamid Chachamim. They learn Torah day and night. Okay? Okay? So, the Akedah Yitzchak, the frog is the type of this world. The Gra, it is Tamid Echachamim. Same thing. Same exact thing. Fine. Right? Okay? That's why you have Rabbi Bar Barachana there. Because you need a Talmud Chacham who's with the frog. Fine. Why 60? 60 kingdoms, which is also 60 Mesechtot. Okay. What? Now, I understand there are 60 Mesechtot. I'm not sure. But his point here is primarily that it's the Talmud Chacham is 60 Mesechtot. Okay, fine. The frog of 60 is the Talmud Chacham who knows all of Shas. And what devoured him? The Tanin. Which Tanin? So he says, this is not just any snake. What snake is here? The Livyatan, Nachash HaKalaton, from Yeshayahu. The great snake. Right? Why the great snake? So he quotes the Zohar, Kishnei Taninim Hein, Echad Hu Alafar, Mishalov Nikra Nachash. One is on dirt, that's Nachash. Nachash Afar Lachmo, Vashini Beyam, Nikra Tanin. Okay? One of them are they, and these are the Shnei Yitzarin, the Yitzer Tov, and the Yitzer Hara. Is it? No, wait. Neshim Shnei Yitzarin. Achad ba mishut ba'aretz u'metalech taviv amer adu jilchon ba'aretz. Chenegram aretz. Ze Yitzarin. Sorry, it's not Yitzartoven and Yitzarara. There's one which goes around the nations of the world, which is the Nachash. And the second one is Tanin, is the one that surrounds the Tamidei Chachamim. And tries to be mevatel them from Yitzar, from Torah. So there's the Yetzer that leads the nations of the world to do whatever they do, and the other one which is devoted just to Bittul Torah. Okay? Whew. V'amru chazal, Leviathan nachash b'riach, Leviathan nachash akalatom. Heim zachar nekeva. The Gemara will tell you just on Ayin Dalet Amud Bet that there's a male and female, and v'amru gdolos tinesh yisonim ha-me'ares n'shen yoter mehem, and then he says... He quotes another Gemara, the very weird Gemara, for those of you doing Daf Yomi and Sachim and Tet, that says that who hates Talmid Chacham more than anybody? The wives of Amei Aretz. I mean, artists hate them and wives hate them, and the wives hate them more. Right? It's a very weird Gemara, right? It starts off with, we hate them and they hate us. Right? Rabbi Eliezer says, I hate them so much. Right? You're allowed to stab an Amaretz even on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos. And then instead of his Talmidim saying, what the are you saying? They say, Rebbe, Emar L'shochta, why would you say stab him? Say shecht him. And he says, Amar Lahem, Zet Ton Bracha, Zeinen Ton Bracha. No, because that needs a bracha. And stabbing doesn't need a bracha. End of story. Right? And then it talks about how you can rip them apart like fish. And then Rabbi Kiva says, Amaretz hate us a lot. And when I was in Amaretz, I used to say, bring me an Amaretz, and I'll bite him like a donkey. And his student said, a donkey? Why a donkey? Say you'd bite him like a dog. He says, no, dogs don't break bones when they bite. Donkeys do. Right? So in that context, Gemara says, and the people who hate doesn't mean to come the most are the wives of Amaretz. Okay? Fine. Yes. So he says, these snakes are the Amei Haaretz who hate the Talmidei Chachamim. That's what he says, okay? Yeah. Yes. So then he says, so what does it mean when he says that the snake eats, the Amei Haaretz are trying to devour and destroy the Talmidei Chachamim. But they, in turn, get swallowed by the Orev. Why the Orev? So he says, this is disturbing. I remember how disturbing it was. I read this the first time, and now I read it again, and it's even more disturbing. Because the Gemara says, in Erevin Daf Chav Beis, that what's the only way for Talmidei Chachamim to succeed in life? To be cruel to their children and ignore them like a raven who doesn't care about its kids. Because the only way to learn Torah is to not care about anything that's happening in the world. So he says, "Bimi atamotan, bimi shenasa achzari abanav ka'orev." The only people that come in are people who are cruel to their children like an orev. Yes. So therefore he says, what does it mean? So why is the female raven coming and eating the snake? If the Talmud Chacham can make himself cruel enough to ignore his family so he can learn all day and night, then he will be able to overpower the Yetzer Hara of the Amei Haaretz who are trying to get him not to learn Torah. So the Talmud Chacham is both the Orev and the frog. Yes. And then... Oh my God, yes, I remember how disturbing I found this. And he says, aha, and why does the raven go sit on a tree? Because God promises him that if he manages to do that, then he'll set him up in a Yisachar Zvulun relationship and be supported by the tree. Yes. What? No, it's the Machzike Torah, because Eitz Chaim he l'machzikim ba. It's the people who support Torah. And when he says, how strong are the trees, he's saying, oh, look at how strong these relationships are, like by Yaakov and Moshe. And he says, look how strong they are, that he can be Kovesh his Yeter and give his money to Talmidei Chachamim. Wow, right, yes. So these are the great reasons. The frog is the Talmid Chacham before he's cruel to his children. The snake that eats him are the Amei Haaretz who are trying to get him in Matal Torah. To conquer them, he has to be cruel and ignore his family like an Orev. And if he does that, then he'll be supported by good non-learned people who are Machzike HaTorah, who are the tree. One second. Right, and he says parenthetically in this, and they don't pay taxes, as we know. Fine. And then he says, so what does Rapapa mean when he says I didn't believe it? He says, because when I went to visit Eretz Yisrael, I found that there were, in fact, people who supported Torah. But I wouldn't have believed it, because in Bavel, nobody bothered supporting the Talmidei Chachamim, Gevalt. That is how the Gaon reads the story. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember I found that one really disturbing when I read it the first time, kids. Fine. Woo! Let's try. Well, yes, now that we've seen that one, let's try somebody, anything else. Anything else? Yes. Okay. Let's try Rav Kook. Okay. Let's try Rav Kook here. Let's see, because Rav Kook is definitely not going to say that. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Rav Kook. Hine ikar midara Torah hi achesed. What? Page 56 here. Hine ikar midara Torah hi achesed. The main mid of Torah is chesed. Kamaz go nusach atzil kib or panecha nasata lanu Torah chaim avet chesed. Umnam shelim. But the ultimate type of Torah is if you have all the midot, all good midot wrapped up together. Even cruelty, if used for the right reason, is good. Chesed, the first love you have to do is to love yourself. Boning well chesed, bahad aluva, kedekhsiv gomum nefsho, ish chesed. Aval kshal pitorim is damein kedrachun sor nafsho lemidat achzariyo, kedeh leshkeh shem shamayim, ach etzel ish ba'al mido tovo, tu davar kalim sor nafsho vashmo mo. Okay, so, Rav Kook also thinks that the orev here is going to be cruelty, except not cruelty to others, but cruelty to yourself. He says, sometimes the Torah calls on us to be good to ourselves, and sometimes it calls us to be moser nefesh, and be cruel to ourselves. But being cruel to others is bad. Unless you really have to be. But it's really bad. Right? Like when you have to fight. Like Shaul, shenichshal bechemlat ol amalek. Ach kol zeh eino kol kach kaved kach zeh hi agoyim. Right, sometimes you have to be cruel against other nations, sometimes against Jews. And the people who express cruelty when necessary, they're still perfect. And in that case, cruelty will be what allows him to cling to Torah. It's true that most people look at cruelty, they won't understand that it could be for Torah. But if you see someone who's normally kind and once in a while has to express cruelty, so then you'll understand that it's really the right thing to do in this case. Okay? Fine. So with that in mind, he now reads the story, and he says, who is the frog? The frog is Mesiras Nefesh. Where does he get the notion that frogs are Mesiras Nefesh? Someone tell me. Because Hananya, Mishael, Azariah learns him he knows their Nefesh from the frogs, right? Right? Gemara in Pesachim says that where did they learn to be Moser Nefesh? Because the frogs jumped into the ovens in Makat Bechorot to be Moser Nefesh for God. So he says, the frogs are Tamidei Chachamim who are Moser Nefesh. And why does it have 60 houses? Because again, this 60, this completeness thing from Shir HaShirim, Kulse denura, sota gvura, it's the sota gvura. I don't know exactly what that means, Kabbalistically, but okay. Why is it the size of Akra de Hagrona, right? The Grah didn't explain why this city. But he says, from Garon. Because the neck is where you first learn halacha, because what's the most basic halacha that Jews used to need to know? Shechita. Right? Shechita. So, and there's 60 Batei Din. Okay. So the Talmud Chacham sometimes has to be Moser Nefesh, which is cruelty against himself. But if he the Talmud Chacham was willing to be cruel to himself, meaning be Moser Nefesh, what won't he do? He won't be cruel against others. Right? The snake is also cruelty. Unless he really needs to. In which case, what's that represented by? The Orev. So this is how he reads it. The ideal Talmud Chacham, if he's going to be cruel, it'll be against himself. And if he manages to only be Moser Nefesh again, and therefore be harsh on himself, he won't be harsh on others. Unless he really needs to. So sometimes the Orev will swallow his cruelty, well, his kindness, which swallowed his cruelty. Okay. Yes, exactly. and he says, sometimes he will have to be really achzar. In what sense? Right, because he'll be full of halacha, and sometimes you have to exact the law, essentially. But he says, but if you manage to apply the harshness, maybe harshness is better than cruelty, harshness only when necessary, against yourself or against others when necessary, then what will you be zochet to? You'll be zochet to, you'll reach your goal, the Eitzah Chaim. And what does it mean when Rav Papa says, if I wasn't there, I wouldn't have believed it? Says it's very hard to believe that that sometimes cruelty is a good thing. And I wouldn't have believed it. But once I saw that sometimes you do have to express cruelty as part of your Kiyumat Torah, I realized that that's in fact kindness. That's how he reads it. Wow, I'm getting a headache on this story. Yeah, this wasn't the story I was originally planning on doing. It was the one before that. That one failed to print. I just printed the next one. So, whatever. Okay. Well, there we go. Let's try another one. Let's see what we get. Wow. Yeah, let's try Malchiot, okay? That's what he calls Malchiot. So let's try the Emet LeYaakov, okay? So he says, okay, the frog are the Jewish people.
Okay.
Why? Because there are the Jews on the day of Churban, because they're basically crying out all the time in chaos like a frog, which is jumping around and just screaming. Okay? Why Akruta of Hagronia, with 60 houses. So again, he goes to Shir Ashirim, Shishim is Malchut, etc. So he says, the Jews come from Shishim Batei Avot. Okay? Fine. So we are the frog. The frog is swallowed by the snake. What's the snake? Yeah, why? Because Yeshayahu refers to the enemies of the Jewish people as the Tanin Bayam, that God will eventually punish. Very simple. right? He has a very simple way. The snake in the imagery in Yeshayahu are the people God has to punish for destroying the Beit HaMikdash. So we're the frog screaming and jumping around in chaos, and we are pursued by the snake, which swallows us and destroys the Beit HaMikdash. And eventually what will happen? Right? We eventually then... one second. Eventually the snake will be pursued by the final galut, which for him is Yishmael. Because... One second. Follow down Yisrael, fine. Well, to know, Be'er Rashi, Orev Nekeva, Be'er Marsha, Zayushmal. So he gets this from the Marsha. Why? Because he was supported by Hagar, who was a Nekeva. That's it. That's what he gets. He doesn't think it's about the Orev, he thinks it's about the female. Okay. And he says, then the bird will fly to Israel. One second. And will go onto the tree. Why? Why is the tree the image of Hagar, of Yishmael? Because Yishmael was thrown under the tree by Hagar. Okay. And there he does tshuva. Right? So he says, aha, Yishmael will devour all the other galuyot, because it'll be the final galut, but in the end, just like the original Yishmael, he'll do tshuva, and therefore he'll be on the tree. And in that schut, wow! I did not see that coming. And in the schut that they do tshuva, they will be in control of Israel until Yemot HaMashiach. Wow! Wow, I did not see that coming. And Rapapa says, I would not have believed that the tshuva of Yishmael would have been given him such a schos that he would be zocher to have Eretz Yisrael until Yemot HaMashiach. He saw that Yishmael managed to hold on to Israel. That's what he saw. Wow. I didn't see that coming. Okay. See, this is the fun when I don't get to do the story I wanted to do. I just didn't see anything coming there. Fine. Yeah. Fine. So that's how he understands this story. That Yishmael will defeat the Romans who defeated us, and in the schos of Yishmael's tshuva, they will, because of the tree where he did tshuva, they will get Eretz Yisrael until Yemot HaMashiach. And Rapapa says, if I didn't see it, I wouldn't have believed it. I mean, for a long time they were. Oh, no. They didn't exist. I mean, what he's imagining, which is Muslims, they did not exist. Yeah, no, not at all. Okay, fine, great. Similarly, the Marsha thinks it's about Malchiot, but he thinks about it a little bit differently. He says, the frog is Yavon. Because Chachma Yavonis is Tzvardeya. I have no idea why Greek philosophy is a frog. This is beyond my... specifically, the 60 is a reference to the Greeks under Alexander the Great.
What? As if he was controlling all 60 Greeks and
Athenians. I have no idea. Okay? Then, because... and Rome is the snake who defeats the Greeks. because they're the ones who destroy the Beit HaMikdash, so they're the Tanim. Fine. And the Orev is Yishmael also. And the reason that Yishmael will finally beat the Greeks, right, he's imagining that, right, Islam basically beat Christianity. That's what he's imagining. Why did this happen? Because of the schus of Avram and Yishmael's tshuva. That's how he understands it. Okay, so we have one who says this is only about the non-Jews, and one says it's about the non-Jews who pursue the Jews. Yikes. Yeah, I didn't see, like, any of this coming. Okay, so let's just review what we have, because I'm a little bit confused. Marsha thinks this is about the Muslims who defeat the Romans, who defeat the Greeks in the Schos of Avram. The Emes Liakov thinks it's the Muslims who and therefore get Eretz Israel after they defeat the Romans who defeated the Jews. The Gra thinks that this is about Tamidei Chachamim who are defeated by the Amei Aretz until they decide to be cruel against their children and then manage to ignore the world and learn Torah successfully. Rav Kook thinks it's about managing to be cruel against yourself or others only when necessary, which will let you be, oh right, sorry, and the Graf finished it, that then you'll then be supported in a Yisachar Zvulun relationship. Rav Kook says it's just about being a perfected person and being able to be cruel when necessary. And the Akedas Yitzchak said it was about our desires in this world. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Fine. Okay. Let's see. Let's get one more here. This is one of those times I'm just hoping. It was like the first one. I'm just hoping that Rav Nachman, who's not usually, you know, just says something that's sensible here. Where is it? 5.3. Yeah, 5.3. Something that doesn't scare, and these are, I've got to say, of all the stories, this is the one where I am the most confused so far. He put Lakutei Maharan and didn't put it on the sheet? Seriously? Oh, come on. I was hoping for... Okay. Rami, you want to try and look up Lakutei Maharan? It should be on Svari, I think. Which reference in Lakutei Maharan? What was it? Gimel Tedvav. Okay. He puts other Perushim here that he didn't include on the page. The Malbim and... Okay, let's see if we can quickly, in our few minutes, let's see if we can get other Perushim here. Okay, the Olalot Ephraim says that it's talking about the defeat of the Yetzer Hara and of enemies. The Tzfardeya is the Chachamim who give Musar, and therefore they're like the bullfrog who just yells at everybody. And sing the Mayim, this shir of Mayim, okay, of Toranit, fine. And Svardeya, he thinks, is Safar Yeda, Nordeya, that it screams out wisdom. The 60 is the Torah, fine. Is the 24 Svarim of Tanakh, the six Siddurim of Mishnah, times 2. Kiflayim Litushia. Okay. Because it's double to save us. That's great. And the snake are the Rishayim who are jealous of the Torah. And they swallow us and the Yetzer Hara. And the Orev is the Lomed Torah. That, like, because of the same reason as the Gra. So the solution is to learn Torah more. that if the Yetzer Hara comes to you, drag him back to the Beis Medrash with more intensity. That's how he reads this story, is that we start at Samei Chachamim, we're attacked, and then we drag them back to the Beit Midrash. Okay. The Yarad Dvash says that the frog are the people who learn Torah Lishma, the Shishim Batim. Is parallel to the philosophers. I have no idea why. Who try to destroy the Torah. And the snake. One second. The Torah will beat the scientists who will beat the philosophers. Somehow that's how he got it. Okay. Wow. Okay, I've got to say that this story has confused me more than any of the stories that we have seen. Unlike in the other ones, I do not walk out of this with any sort of sipuka nefesh, because I have no idea what's going on here. Does someone want to quickly try to look at Likutei Maharan and see if Rav Nachman... I can't believe I'm saying this, right? But if you can find the Rav Nachman quickly... Likutei Maharan, Gimel Tedvav. Likutei Maharan, Gimel Tedvav. Let's see if I can find it quickly. Here, wiki text. Yeah, right here. Okay, good. What does he say? He says something totally different. He says, if you hear music from a Rasha, it makes it harder to worship God. And if you hear music from someone who's a tzaddik, it makes it easier to worship God. He says, the frog is music. Okay, Tzvarim. Okay, I've got to admit, I give up on this story. I have no idea. Okay, I tried. I tried, guys. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I give up on this story. It is the most confusing story I've ever read.